Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. Just about everybody in the EU institutions and national capitals can agree that business as usual is no longer an option when it comes to security. With the US stepping back from Europe and NATO and Ukraine under great pressure, the EU is mulling what looks like an ambitious plan to overhaul its defence policy. In theory, ReArm EU will raise 800 billion euros for this effort, but it's not clear exactly how all that money is going to be made available, nor how fast the effects of this are actually going to be felt. We're going to unpack the EU's defence reforms with my guests. Hannah Neumann is a German Green MEP who sits on the Foreign Affairs Committee and the Security and Defence Committee. Welcome to the programme. And I'm also with Estonian MEP Riho Terras from the European People's Party, who is vice president of that same defence committee, and he was commander of the Estonian Defence Forces from 2011 to 2018. Welcome to you as well to the programme. Hannah Neumann, I'd like to start with you. Your overall impressions of the ReArm EU plan and this defence white paper, is it really the big leap that the European Commission seems to be selling it as?
Can be the big leap if member states fall in line. So if it's kind of, they put everything together that the European Union can offer to member states to make their security and defence work better. Everything that can be done, most of it can be done also with the qualified majority. So all the financial ideas that we have in the ReArm proposal. But now we need all the 27 to come together and say, OK, we have a deal, that's the plan, we walk along.
Yeah. You've called for more decisions in defence in general to be pooled, to have more European decision-making rather than national. You don't see a major change on that in the current proposals?
No, indeed, there isn't. So the proposal is quite clear, saying all the things that would be much better to do them together to close the capability gaps that we have, especially with the US kind of tracking back when it comes to cyber, military mobility, air defense, but also how much money we could save if we would procure together rather than being in competition with each other on the market. But at the same time, the proposal says, well, all of that doesn't interfere with national prerogative to do whatnot on security and defence. And that's kind of where we are stuck, where we have been stuck for the last 10 years.
Just on that point, Riho Terras, what about this national security prerogative? Does that need to be reformed?
Well, I don't think we need to change the system in the times of war. We need to use the system we have and make it work better. And for my appetite, all these discussions are very nice, but they are not concrete enough. White paper is very general. The ReArm Europe talks about the possibilities, but not commitments. From my taste, it should have been, the white paper should have been having a clear threshold for the countries to for the defense spending which can be enforced. Would it be 2%, 3%, whatever? It is not in there. Yeah. So what makes the countries invest in the defense? Because that is what is needed. It's not about what we can do together first. It's about how every country can prepare itself for defending Europe together. Yeah. But today we have capability gaps in every of the countries.
So making the debt ceilings more flexible, which is obviously one of the key aspects of these plans, that in itself doesn't necessarily get EU member states to invest more in defence.
Well, the member states who understand the urgency will, of course, make use of it. And for sure, Estonia as a country, which yesterday we made a decision to spend 5% of the GDP on defence, we will use it. But to make understand the people in Portugal or Ireland, where it's only 0.25% GDP allocated for defence, that Estonian pensioners and children need a social care as much as these in Ireland. But we spend 5% on the GDP on defence because we understand the urgency. And this feeling of the urgency is not in the white paper and is not in the ReArm Europe, on my opinion. Yeah. It talks about it, but not concrete enough.
Yeah. We do have some new developments, though, in Germany, Hannah Neumann. This, what was called a historic bill that was passed in Parliament to invest more in projects, including defence. Do you think the arrival of Friedrich Merz on the European political scene, does that change things now on this defence question?
Well, the package clearly changes things. The frustration is a bit, we could have had that 2 years ago when we offered to Friedrich Merz to do exactly what now, after an election campaign where he told us we just can't be good enough on savings, he turns out to say, well, now we need an even bigger package, but it's good we have the package. Now we need to make sure that Germany, with all this money, spends it in a responsible way that ensures that it doesn't just raise the prices for everyone, raise the profits of the defense industry without making Europe safer. But I have to say there was a bit of a contradiction, at least to me, into what Rita has said. I totally agree with you that member states should spend more and that there should be a mechanism on the European level that we can kind of force them. But that would exactly be interfering with the security prerogative that you have been defending. I would like to see a strong European Union saying we need to put a bunch of money together. From that, we buy everything that we need to fill our capability gaps. We do that together, and yes, if one or two or three member states are a bit reluctant, we can more than nudge them.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with you on that, but the other thing is I should remind you that Friedrich Merz was not in the government 2 years ago, and that was the Greens. So it was you
who didn't do... Yeah, and he stopped us from doing exactly the lending that we are doing
now
together.
The one thing is spending separately. We will not become a federation today. And we should not start to talk about even this topic because the Lisbon Treaty will not be open. So we have to work in the framework where we are right now. And the Commission has the possibility to put kind of a threshold to the countries like we have done it with the Maastricht criteria. This is there. So I think that countries should spend more. I think it should remain by the countries how to spend. And, of course, voluntarily, countries together can get some efforts. And that is where Commission needs to encourage the cooperation between their countries, but not force them to do it.
And on making the best of the current situation, on improving the instruments that do exist, you've both spoken about the problems of interoperability, right? So, slightly geeky term, but as you've said, Helen Neumann, 155-millimeter German shell cannot be used in a French howitzer, and this is, what, 20 years into the common security and defence policy?
Yes, we need to fix that. Yeah. We clearly need to fix that with cross-certification, so basically one member state accepts the certification of another one. We need to fix that by not having 179 different systems where the US only has 33. So we can, if we need to fight together, and if we support Ukraine, they can use the stuff together. To me, all of this mess doesn't make any sense. And all the money that we are now trying to find to step up our defense spending should be spent in a way that will reduce all of this mess.
What about on the certification?
On the long term, of course, but I should remind you that 75 years NATO has had STANAG standard procedures for weapon systems, and we were not able to fight war in Afghanistan. Even I'm not talking about the French and Americans or British. Even the British and the Americans with the same systems were not able to talk to each other, and I don't think it's time to start to deal with nitty-gritty. What we need is more weapons. If they don't work together, then give the weapons and the ammunition to Ukraine. Ukraine has shown that they can use in the war every weapon system they have been given. And it is more difficult perhaps sometimes, but it works. And I think the amount of the weapon systems, amount of the ammunition, and the willingness of the people. And I think the biggest problem in Europe today is that the urgency of the war is not felt in Madrid, in Portugal, in Dublin. And that is, I think, the problem.
So based on what you just said, then, you don't really mind whether there's a European preference, this kind of thing that President Macron is pushing, as long as there are weapons that can be used?
Absolutely. I think in the longer term, we need to work together, need to find ways to cooperate and find common solutions. As long as Europe is not producing cheaper, better and quicker, we need to buy it from South Korea or Israel or other like-minded nations.
Do you agree with that, or should we really be going for a European manufacturing focus?
To me, one doesn't exclude the other. So right now, we need exactly what you said, cheap, fast, as much as possible to Ukraine. But as we are right now also discussing how can we get our industries to produce that, why not use this momentum to walk one step after another? I'm not saying tomorrow we only buy only European and we only buy everything that's COSCO certified, but let's use the momentum to also walk first steps towards the long-term goals we have. I mean, we see the problem with the US right now when we talk about military intelligence, for example, or about air defense. So for a long time, we thought the Americans are our best partner. We are buying loads and loads and loads of things from them. And now with Trump being, let's say, ambiguous at best, we are in deep problems. Germany has a lot of patriots. Ukraine needs the patriots. What if Trump tomorrow says Germany is not allowed to export the Patriots to Ukraine anymore?
Yeah.
That's why, in addition to buying Patriots and giving them to Ukraine as long as we can, we need to make sure that we develop a system that makes us independent of US craziness.
Let's not write off US yet. It is kind of a feeling, but not yet. The second thing is, I think we should focus on systems which we don't have in Europe. We do have systems which do not work together, but we have them. That's okay. Produce them, but we don't have intelligence satellite systems which could provide information yes. which the US, China, or even Russia have much better than us. We need to focus on these things. I think the air defense project of the European Union makes very much sense because we don't have anything, so we can do it together. But if we already have them, so. Use them. Use everything we have to make us stronger, because Russia understands only strong Europe. US understands only strong Europe. Stop playing. Figure skating if Russia and Trump are playing ice hockey. That's my sentence.
That's probably a good conclusion. We'll leave it there. Thank you so much to both of my guests, Rio Terras and Hannah Neumann. Do stay with us here on Talking Europe.